A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The time is whenever this show has been released. I am Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore. This is Luke and Pete Show. How are you doing, Luke Moore?
I'm good, thanks. That is a characteristically undetailed time check by you.
Damn right. Don't need it. Didn't you give me? Did you play out on Luke and Pete Show that penalty kick being taken, and in the middle he just does a time check?
I can't remember if I played it out or not, but it was amazing. That was so good.
Yeah, I hadn't heard it at the time, but I went back and listened to it. My God, it was good.
How are you, big man? What's new?
Good. I'm working on a little project that's kind of bleeding into my life of the weekend. So I've been doing a lot of that stuff for that over the weekend. But I did manage to, Luke Moore, finally get my hog, my American chopper, my Chinese scooter up and running.
Oh, yes.
I found where the battery goes. I got in.
That's amazing.
And some of the paintwork is only slightly damaged by my screwdriver. I'm in. I put the battery in. The battery wasn't necessarily working, so I walked almost all the way to Hemel Hempstead, to Halfords, to get a battery charger for the battery. And yeah, everything's looking good, Luke. Everything's looking good. It's purring like a lawnmower.
So have you taken her for a spin or not?
I've not. I moved forwards and backwards in the garage, but it was getting rather late and rather dark, so maybe I'll have a little...
rather fumey, I would have thought.
Exactly. I'd hotboxed myself. I think that's how you kill yourself, isn't it, in a garage?
Yeah, it's not a great...
it's not ideal, is it? No, no.
So why haven't you been out on it? Have you not got a helmet or something?
I've got a helmet. It is. Oh God, yes. And the people on the road should be scared as well. Yeah. I've not taxed it or made the world know that it's a liable. Viable mode of operation. You have to get in touch with the DVLA. You've got to fill in loads of forms saying this new Chinese scooter will be on the nation's roads, and that takes like 5 to 6 weeks. It's really annoying.
Yeah, there's a lot of bureaucracy, isn't there? What you could do instead is to only ride it on the pavement and only ride it down dirt tracks.
Could just go off. Maybe I could talk to a farmer and go, can I help you churn up your fallow fields my scooter?
So what's the turnaround then? What's the estimate for when you actually be on the road? Because that's what the people listening want to hear. They don't want to hear about these little bits of admin you're doing. They want to hear when you're going to be out there.
Well, I'm looking at the EU certificate of conformity. Whenever you buy a scooter in the EU, bearing in mind I got mine from scooter.co.uk, really really worked really hard on finding the best quality scooter at scooter.co.uk. It's a Chinese vehicle, but they, with your certificate, when you buy a new thing, it tells you all of like the different like carbon emissions and stuff, how much THC I'm bashing out. I don't even know what THC is. I presume it's something to do with weed, isn't it?
Isn't THC the active ingredient in marijuana?
Well, yeah, apparently it's bashing out fat spliffs of 138 milligrams per kilometer. So I could get high off my own supply. I'll maybe like get a little bit of rubber tube in straight from the exhaust, right in the old into the kisser.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
That is
how you die, innit?
So basically, give us an estimated date of when you're going to be officially Pete, born to be mild Donaldson.
6 weeks. It's my 6 weeks holiday where I've got to learn how to use the scooter on the little road next to my house. So I'll be whirring up and down that little dirt track for a little while anyway.
And then what are you going to actually use it for, by the way? I never actually got around to asking yet.
Go on shops just and go to the train station. Well, the train station's like 15 minutes away. And, you know, it just takes a little bit out of your day that you don't need, innit? So I'll park up next to the train station. I reckon it'll be about 3 weeks before it's stolen and I'll be back to
Someone was saying the other day, I was listening to the radio over the weekend, and someone was saying that... they got a brand new bike because of lockdown and stuff. And they went in and they literally picked it up on the way home, thought, oh, I'll get a coffee, chained it up outside the coffee shop, and they said he was only in there for like 15 seconds.
Oh, it's amazing.
And it was gone.
As fan as I am of the lockpicking lawyer, he really shows you the folly.
Yeah, he picks locks responsibly, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. But he it's really
and
hard.
If he gets busted, he can lawyer himself out of it, can't he? So it's fine.
Exactly. Yeah, there's some things he won't do, but he does show, like, he was doing puck locks yesterday. You know, those locks that you see on that are kind of protected from hammer attacks and stuff.
Right.
His little puck locks, and he'd had this little kind of, it was like a little kind of twiggy thing, and he said, this thing's been around for 100 years. This little, it looked like a little toothbrush, a little metal toothbrush. Jams it in the lock. He bought 10 of these puck locks from, you know, the hardware store at random, so it wasn't as if, like, he just got a bad batch. He bought them at random, and yeah, just got them open immediately. I love lockpicking lawyer. He starts every video with, and here's what I've got for you today. I'm the lockpicking lawyer. Here's what I've got for you today. It's a so-and-so, so-and-so. It's good.
How many locks do you reckon he actually picks? And do you think that, I can't fucking believe we're still talking about a lock-picking lawyer. You wrote me in. Do you reckon it's all above board? Do you reckon it's all legit? Or do you reckon he primes them for the video?
I imagine he's got a reputation to keep up. And I imagine he's probably... he's a lawyer. I'm not saying anything about him. I think he picks all of those locks immediately as soon as he gets them and films them.
Where's he even found the skill, though? I don't understand where he's found the skill to do this.
Well, it's a learned kind of.
You've got to be a meticulous mind, I think.
Yeah. And you've got to kind of really work at it. This is like magic circle shit. It really is. It's incredible stuff.
That is incredible. By the way, just quickly before I get onto what I was going to say, how are you coping with the second lockdown? Because I think people listening might want to hear a bit of solidarity about how their 14th and 15th favourite podcasters are coping with lockdown too. Mm. How's it going for you generally?
I'm drinking a bit more than I usually would, to be honest. I spent the weekend drinking fizzy sake. That's a thing. It's not good thing.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
No.
Where'd you get it from?
Great. A sake shop. I think it's probably just sake.co.uk. But sake, it's like really, it just tastes like fizzy sake, which I don't think anybody really needs in their life, to be quite frank.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
No, I didn't until I saw it and I was like, I've got to have some of that. It's not too bad. Stick something like a blueberry or a blackberry or a strawberry in there and you've got a nice little kind of little cocktaily tasting thing.
Right. Is it just like almost like a kind of slightly different champagne?
Yeah. It's very, very sweet. It's not a dry experience at all. It's enjoyable in its own way.
Right, okay, fair enough. I was going to say to you actually as well, before I forget, that shout out to Dave Tame, who's a Luke and Pete Show listener, who posted us a copy of the Beano and the Dandy to the office, which arrived today.
Oh, right.
So we can make our assessments over which is better out of the Beano and the Dandy. Now, Dave, we have the reason I know these have been delivered is because we have a skeleton staff at the office. Mm. And Charlie, who produces all our football shows.
He's very thin.
He's a skeleton. So he's allowed in. And he took delivery today. But Dave,
he can't get COVID, he's a skeleton.
Yeah, Dave, I don't know if you want these back because, like, they're both from 1991, so they look like they might be quite vintage. So,
yeah.
I mean, we really appreciate you sending them. I mean, we'll give them a read, but I suppose they feel like those two of those comics that you have to kind of turn the pages with tongs. So you don't.
I had such a good collection when I was like about 8 or 9 of the Beano. I had years and years and years, loads of annuals, and they all got thrown out. Still annoyed about that, to be quite frank.
See, I was always a Beano man. But I mean, I wonder if Dave sending those in might kind of sway me the other way. I'm genuinely interested as to how much I've misremembered that. I kind of think, Pete, what might have happened. So those of you who are listening who are too young to remember the Beano or the Dandy, they probably still exist in some form, but it used to be the must-have comic for a young boy around the kind of late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And I wonder, Pete, if what's happened is I've amalgamated both comics into one in my mind and thought they were all in the Beano, because a couple of the ones you told me the other week, I was sure they were Beano, but they were Dandy. So you never know. I'm going back into the office tomorrow. I'm gonna have a look.
Billy Whiz. He's got a fucking straw in his head, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, what was that all about?
What? Why did he have a straw in his fucking head?
Billy Whiz was like a really fast-running kid, right? That was
his
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And I think it was just his hair, wasn't it?
Was it? But he was completely bald, apart from this kind of straw coming out of his head, as if someone had sucked out his brain. And so he's just this kind of, like, fast-running automaton. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Luke, have you... Where were you? Can you account for your whereabouts last Tuesday or Wednesday at 1:40 in the morning?
Okay. I don't know why I'm going to do this. I'm just reaching across to check my diary. Yeah. Yeah.
So, where
so
were
that
you?
Would have been last Wednesday, so the 11th or 12th. Mm. Well, the 11th is my granddad's birthday.
Oh, I see.
11th or 12th. I don't think I was doing anything.
So you didn't go down to see you? You didn't see go and see your family or anything?
I couldn't, could I? Because it was lockdown.
Oh yeah.
So I just interesting. Gave a call. What's happened?
Tuesday or Wednesday, 1:40 in the morning.
Yeah.
A driver in Gosport has been driving up and down the streets of Gosport with a megaphone, shouting "Wakey wakey!" That is driving a red Nissan Navara. Nice car. He's just been driving up and down the roads. With a megaphone.
Do you have the name of the road?
Wakey, wakey. Brockhurst Road.
Oh, Brockhurst Road is literally the road off of where I grew up.
Oh, how interesting.
I loved how you pronounced
it. The plot thickens. Brockhurst, is it Brockhurst?
Yeah, it's just Brockhurst. So,
and Elson.
That is arguably the main road in Gosport.
Interesting.
So 1:40 in the morning driving up. I mean, that is very much behaviour that you would that typifies the town I grew up in. one of my first ever memories. I might have mentioned this before, but one of my first ever memories was looking out of the bedroom window that would become my sister's bedroom.
Yeah,
and seeing a man remonstrating at street level with a woman up in the first floor bedroom window as she threw all of his stuff out the window.
Yeah.
And then he reacted to that by setting fire to her car.
Oh, wow. So, that is... Yes.
And that was only about 8 or 10 doors down from my house.
Yeah.
So
incredible.
And then my next door neighbour later got busted for attempted murder after we moved out.
Yeah.
And that's mad because I used to jump into his garden to get my football back and sometimes he was quite angry. It really puts it into perspective.
He could have been murdered to bits. Yeah.
So the story,
it would have
the
been
story
a overreaction.
The story goes, and bearing in mind this is a story that's been filtered through my dad, so it might be it might have been some bloke in the pub told another bloke in the pub. But I think
it's like those coffee beans that go through a monkey.
It's an ocelot, isn't it?
It is transformative.
Yeah, but that makes them better, doesn't it? I don't think this makes the story better.
Okay, right.
But I mean, it probably makes the story better, but it doesn't make it more true. But anyway, this guy who, I mean, I'm not mentioning his name or the street or anything, so presumably this is going to be okay. I found out, and I did check the news story afterwards, and it did show up to be largely true, that this guy, he was a single guy, and he had a couple of lodgers living in, I guess, what was a three-bedroom house or whatever. And one of them, I think, just didn't pay the rent or whatever, and they had a big row about it.
Mm.
And they started having a bit of a scuffle. And the lodger legged it out of the house. And the landlord, the guy who was my next-door neighbour when I lived next door, chased after him with a kitchen knife, chased him down, fucking stabbed him up in the middle of the street.
Good Lord.
I know. Isn't that crazy? So, in the context of that, the megaphone seems quite quaint.
I mean, he must have been like, he plunges the knife in and he's like, I mean, there's no turning back here, is there? I mean, there's this. No. I mean, that first one is going to get me in trouble as much as the 15th, well, I think.
For me, it's like, the reason it makes it kind of mad is because, well, obviously it's a mad story anyway, but that is when I think about that stuff and I read about that years later, and occasionally I'll drive down that road that I grew up on because I have to go somewhere and I'm visiting my parents or whatever. And it's quite a quiet street. And, but that is the road I used to ride down as fast as I could to see if I could do it inside a minute. And it's like, I feel like that memory has now been sort of dirtied in some way. Because if I'd ridden down as fast as I could and saw a man violently stabbing another man, I don't think I would feel quite as nostalgic about it.
What happened with the? I very much like the Romeo and Juliet story of a man torching his girlfriend's car. I always think about, because I've known people who have had their shit thrown out of the window by a partner.
Yeah.
How does that relationship recover?
Well, I think
people will be listening. People who are listening will, because I know people who have their relationship has been patched up after someone has thrown their shit out of the window. How does that kind of recover? How do you get back to where you were?
It's quite a thing, isn't it? It's quite a thing where, like,
it's quite a statement, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also a bit of a like a well-trodden cliche now. You see it in TV shows and movies where it'll normally be the woman who'll cut up the man's clothes because she's found that he's having an affair or whatever. But the estate, so I didn't live on the estate. I lived on the road next to the estate. So I could see the estate from where I lived. I don't know what it's like now, but it was really rough back in the day. And I just think that I guess the woman just, I don't really know any of the detail because I was like five, but I think the woman just must have found out the man was doing something he shouldn't have done, and the man reacted badly, and the whole thing's escalated. But you know, if you were asking me, Pete, in another way, do I think they're still together now? No, I fucking don't. They probably never did get back together.
Well, if anybody has ever had their clothes thrown out of the window by a partner, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com.
Well, what are the chances?
Let us know how you patched it back up. That's what I want to know.
Let me flip it around. What do you think the chances are of that your partner will set fire to your moped at some point?
Well, it would only make it look more badass as I'm streaking down the main high street.
That supervillain played by Nick Cage. What's it called? The skull on fire.
Ghost Rider.
Skull on fire. That'd be amazing.
It would look really cool. But actually, rounding that off, what I liked about my favourite part of this Gosbot Wakey Wakey Man that really made me laugh was the red Nissan Navara driver was also seen turning off his lights and shouting, "You can't call the police because you can't see me."
Oh, yeah, that is, I mean, again, nothing rings out of the ordinary here.
The police force said how wrong he was.
Gosport is a mad town because it's basically a town where, or it certainly was, and I haven't lived there for some time, but I do visit there reasonably regularly. It always used to be a town where a lot of people from the Navy would live because it's opposite the other side of the harbour from Portsmouth. They'd be stationed in Portsmouth. And so you've got a real kind of melting pot of different people from all over different parts of the UK living in that one town. And it's also an interesting town because it's essentially a peninsula, right? So there's only one road really in and one road out. All the other borders are the Solent, which is obviously a body of water that's out on the south coast. So it has got a real kind of end of the line feel about it. And it used to have, I know everyone always claims this, but it used to have a ridiculous amount of pubs as well. Like, it used to have, the street I grew up on, it would have like probably be bordered by five pubs. And when you think about that now, I know it's a shame because the pub industry's struggling, not just because of COVID, but for lots of reasons. And actually, on that note, as a very quick tangent, there's a really good series that just started on, I think it's on BBC Two, with Tom Kerridge, who used to be a really big fat guy and now's only a little fat guy, who runs the Hand and Flowers pub. He's a Michelin star chef, and he's always on the TV. Jolly guy. You definitely recognise him.
Right.
But he's doing this TV series about saving Britain's pubs. And what starts out as like quite a pedestrian kind of fly-on-the-wall look at just general stuff actually goes into quite a lot of detail about how the pub industry works. And it is absolutely obscene how much of a stranglehold a lot of these companies have got on the pub industry, and how local landlords and kind of, you know, budding entrepreneurs who want to make a difference in their community are being strangled left, right and center, even before COVID came along. But anyway, when you think about it, Pete, like the town I grew up in, Gosport's got 80,000 to 90,000 people in it, and I reckon it must have had 200 pubs at one point. I mean, it's mad. It's absolutely mad how many pubs it had. So it's a rum old town, I'm telling you. Not in a kind of inner city London, necessarily like stabby kind of way, but it was quite a kind of outlawry place for those reasons.
Yeah,
Hartlepool's probably the same.
Probably not quite as spicy, but yeah, to a less extent, I'd agree with that one. Officers eventually caught up with the 21-year-old driver from Fareham. He was from Fareham.
It's a different town. Fareham's different.
Different
mate.
Town.
Yeah, they're wrong uns down there. What is he doing on our territory? What is he doing on our patch?
They issued him with a warning, and the warning means the driver's car can be seized if he gives residents further unwelcome wake-up calls in the next 12 months. Don't take his car away. Take his bloody loudspeaker, his loudspeaker away.
I'm sorry, Peter, but if you are driving all the way from Fareham to Gosport to do that, right, you're scum of the earth. Do it down West Street in Fareham. It's the next town along. You've driven all the way down to the next town along to do that. It's pathetic. I've lost all respect.
Megaphoners, we'll be back in just a moment with more of your emails, or some of your emails.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even.
WrestleMe is a show where two men watch every WrestleMania from 1 to 37, unpicking the multicoloured threads that tie it all together.
I think it's slightly something to do with the fact that Americans don't really like cell phones, do they? Right. I think they've all got basic ones, basically.
That's a big shout.
It is a big shout, but I mean, there is something funny about it, like text messaging never took off in the States.
What? Come on now.
Never been big.
Whether you're a lapsed fan or someone who doesn't give a flying laureate about it, there's something for everyone.
If you can get a crowd to boo you for kicking a fabulous ladder.
Fabulous ladder.
And the crowd are booing.
Yeah. Get off that lovely ladder we've just learned about.
It's a beautiful polysexual ladder.
It's a beautiful home-based shabby chic creation.
If you climb up to it, ecstasy can be found at the top.
Listen via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods.
Wrestle Me is a Staccano production.
And welcome back to the Luke and Pete Show. Luke, have you got an email for us?
Yeah, I have. Before I get into it, though, I want to do a huge shout out to Noah Roth, which is a great name, by the way. Sounds like he could be some kind of indie film director with that kind of name, who, after all this time, has managed to find a new battery brand, Pete.
After how many years are we doing this? 2.5? Quite a while.
Longer, probably. Probably 3.5. And I thought a long while ago we'd seen every battery brand that it was possible to see. And God bless the people on Twitter, at Luke and Pete Show, who send photos of obscure batteries they've seen wherever they are in the world. Generally speaking, 99 times out of 100, we've seen them before. But on this occasion, Noah Roth managed to unveil a brand new battery brand. I'm going to do an ersatz drum roll on my desk at home. Police security.
Police security.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's very amazing. That's proper like Chinese English, isn't it? It's got to be like, right, what means authority, power, and security? I don't know. Police security.
Why do you want authority in a battery though?
No, you want high voltage. You want a battery that takes control of your consumer electronica and doesn't let it go.
if I'm branding up a battery, I'm probably looking at the key word I'm looking at is longevity.
Yeah, yeah.
you know what I mean? I want it to be a long life battery. I want it to be like, I would call it probably Helen Mirren.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you want some, but that old. You don't want an
Phil
old
the
battery.
Power Taylor. You, the top of darts, like, you, like 50 yeah. years.
Yeah, but exactly. You want them in. You want the thing to actually be working for that amount of time. You don't want an old battery because that's leaky and it might have lost its charge a little bit. I think you want a young, powerful battery. So young power is what I would call my
young power.
My battery
sounds like a rapper. Anyway, shout out Noah Roth. It does actually, yeah. And did you see that video of a Proud Boys initiation over the weekend?
Did it involve putting their willies inside things? It sounds like the sort of hazing they would get up to.
Absolutely pathetic. It was way more pathetic than that.
Right.
I mean, there's a certain amount of bravery associated with getting the old chap out in public. I mean, there's a certain amount of legal problem to get the old chap out in public, particularly these days. But what I'm saying is, if they were to do that, in a way, you'd respect them more. Because I'm not joking, this was... it was basically like a university freshers week piss take.
Right.
It was basically.
Okay.
I'm not making this up, and people can search for the video all they like online. It was five overweight bearded men standing round another overweight bearded man, did a little pledge to the Proud Boys at the start, so you know it was definitely a Proud Boy thing, and then. They all stood around him and gave him a dead arm until he could name five breakfast cereals.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, that is more childish than... I mean, what... And they're filming that and going, this is what we're all about, dead arms and breakfast cereals.
Yeah. I mean, don't bring breakfast cereals into it.
I know.
What have they ever done? the thing that annoys me about that is they've been named. The brands have been named, and that's gone around the internet now.
Have the breakfast cereal... Have they not commented on it?
That's no. Not yet, no, they've not. The best ever thing to come out of all that right-wing racist stuff online is when that guy just haymakers Richard Spencer right in the head.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the best things I've ever seen.
I think up there with racist absolute bodied men was the bloke who's on the tube quite recently in shorts, and he was shouting about how it's popular to be racist.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the three lads get off, and
impeccably
the one in the middle,
timed.
the smallest, just absolutely whacks him. And like people online are going, oh yeah, he sucker punched him. He didn't fucking sucker punch him. He was fronting up against three lads. I mean, fuck me. And he just goes down. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
we love it.
The timing of it is amazing because he waits for the beeps for the doors to close, and then he just saunters off.
Spectacular.
But the thing is, you know, this is probably not the show to be, you know, moralizing about violence and all the rest of it. I mean, because whatever, this is a leisure time show, you know, take everything we say with a pinch of salt or don't or whatever, you know. Half the time we're talking about battery brands. All I'm saying is, from a common sense point of view, right? We don't have to get political. We don't have to moralise, as I say. As a common sense point of view, if you were going to step up to three black men who are all bigger than you and start being racist, you're not going to get a huge amount of sympathy from me if you get knocked out, right?
No.
That's just the way of the world. I'm sorry, but that's just how things can be sometimes. And if that guy's learnt a lesson from that, do I hope he's seriously injured? Probably not. Do I hope he's learnt his lesson? Absolutely. But that is the way of the world sometimes, right?
I think he lost his job because of – I think he was employed by his dad. And he lost his job. I think that was the case.
His dad should have brought him up better. That's my take on that.
I imagine his dad just chinned him as well.
Speaking
when he was least expecting it.
Speaking of people getting hammered. Here's an email from George, who was emailed in hello@lukeandpeteshow.com about something about his school report. So getting hammered metaphorically by a teacher. He says, "Hi guys, when I was about 11, I received the following report from my chemistry teacher. Although he gave me an A in the subject, humble brag, he stuck the boot in with this comment. A very good brain, but he sometimes seems to be on another planet."
That's all right, isn't it?
Well, George says, the thing is, I was a complete square back then. I wasn't even a character, in quotes, and I was usually fairly quiet. I have no idea what I'd done to make him think I was out of my tree. And in another report, I was told by a games teacher, for those American people listening, that's like gym. For some reason, they used to call PE games. I was told by my games teacher that I was, in quotes, a keen and reliable member of the squad, but that enthusiasm alone will not win, which is kind of clearly a way of telling me I was rubbish no matter how hard I try. Anyway, I liked both those teachers, even if the reports they wrote could have been a little less cutting. Cheers, George. So there you go.
Enjoyable.
I hid mine at the back of the wardrobe, and we only found out. I told you this, didn't I? I managed, in what is probably the greatest achievement of my life, I managed to convince my parents that the school didn't do reports. Which is mental, considering that my mum and dad knew, like, friends with a lot of my friends' parents.
Yeah, we have a kind of idea that our parents are just constantly talking about us, what your son's done, what. But in reality, they're just exchanging pleasantries at the best of times. They don't want to talk about their kids any more than they talk to their own kids, I would say.
Well, it came back to bite my parents because they only found my school reports when I was 18. So get in there.
Exactly. Can't get me now. I'm free as a bird. I'm off to Fareham.
I still need to live here, so can you please let me stay?
Ali from Bedford's got in touch. Hello, chaps. Long-time-ish listener and second-time emailer. I recently sent an email detailing my allergy of anaesthetics with a quite horrifying accompanying tale.
Oh, yeah.
Which understandably didn't make the pod. I've been listening to your entire back catalogue of pods as a result picking up night shifts at an Amazon warehouse near me, and I'm needing new or old listening material. I'm so glad you're able to listen to things nowadays in one of those kind of operation kind of factories. Because back in the day, I was never allowed my own headphones in. Very upsetting. Back in the day.
Pete, on that very, very quickly, I don't want to get anyone in any trouble, and particularly not Ali, but if someone wants to email in anonymously if they work at an Amazon warehouse and tell us what it's really like, I'd be interested because you hear a lot of negative press.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to know from the horse's mouths, if possible.
Hey, Bezos ain't going to make that mad paper. Given a living wage.
I mean, if Jeff Bezos is listening, there's no point in me emailing because presumably his working conditions are fine.
Oh, lends a tenner, mate. Let us get the free Marantz microphones. We can get in your pocket.
He probably doesn't even know what tenner is.
No, exactly. 10,000. We were talking about Donald Trump, and I think for whatever reason, I said that his penis, his Johnson, so to speak, looked like the Mario character Toad.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, Luke jumped in to defend Toad and even claimed that Toad seemed like a decent bloke. This claim could not be further from the truth, however, as Toad is in fact a paedophile. It's well documented that Toad and Toadette are a couple, but when researching their ages, it becomes apparent that Toad, a 25-year-old video game favourite, is only bloody dating a 9-year-old. You could do the Googling yourself, but I would seriously have concerns if any of my mates in their 20s started a relationship with the child in year 4. Love the pod. You keep me going at the moment, chaps, and I hope this revelation tickles you as much as it did me. Cheers, Ali from Bedford. Now, I knew that Mario and Peach weren't necessarily, they were like James Bond / Leo DiCaprio kind of aged, so to speak.
Okay.
But I didn't realise Toad and Toadette were such a problematic relationship.
They're fictional characters, aren't they?
Yeah, but at least put them in the right age bracket, you know, surely. There's a Romeo and Juliet rule, but there's no Toad and Toadette legal classification, is there?
My kind of insight into Toad seeming like he was an all right character is that I always used to select either Toad or Koopa Troopa on Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo.
Right.
But one thing it does confuse me about it is that Toad appears to be of the same species, or at least the same kind of, I don't know, category as all the other mushrooms in Mario World. And all the mushrooms are evil. Toad's the only kind of non-evil one.
Is it like Gizmo was the only non-evil gremlin?
Yeah, but I don't really know what the relationship between Gizmo and the gremlins were.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Gizmo seemed to spawn the gremlins, right? I don't really know how that could be possible.
Out of his back, have you got them wet or whatever? It just seems quite difficult.
One thing that's also never mentioned in Gremlins, right, is that they say that obviously the famous rules from the movie Gremlins, one of them is obviously don't get Gizmo wet, but the other one is don't ever feed him after midnight. But it's never mentioned that when you can start feeding him again. What's your cutoff?
Yeah, and he's just going to stink, isn't he?
7?
He's just going to absolutely stink.
Well, like a chinchilla. Oh, yeah, chinchillas have to have dust baths because they can't have water.
Oh, that's interesting. Ah.
Yeah.
I used to look after a ferret every now and again, take it for a walk and stuff at the zoo, and we had a little spray to keep the stink down, so to speak.
Well, thinking about it, by the way, my friends genuinely had a chinchilla called Gizmo.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah.
I will
on
have it.
On that note, should we get out of here and come back on Thursday?
Yep.
That is about as much as we've got time for on today's Luke and Pete show on this Monday, the 16th of November. Thank you very much for joining us. We hope you're having a lovely time, or as much as can be expected, in lockdown if you're in the UK or wherever you are in the world. We will be back on Thursday with a lot more of this inanity. So look forward to that. Leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until Thursday, we will bid you adieu. Goodbye from me and goodbye from Pete as well.
Peace out.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.